Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you asked the questions and you get your answers tailor-made by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode, the coach discusses how a coach may select his defensive style. He tells us how he thinks St. Scholastica will fare in the MIAC. And how was the coach's Father's Day? Let's find out on TaylorMade.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Team is doing good. Those guys actually gave themselves off this week leading up to 4th of July. So, and it's kind of funny because, you know, they're on their own. But even one of the captains, you know, he shot me a text to say, Coach, what do you think about this? So, you know, like I said, summertime is voluntary, but they wanted to clear it with me. I don't know why, because like I said, it's voluntary. But it's good that they're giving themselves some time to go enjoy themselves. So team is doing good. Super proud of how the leadership group is taking the bull by the reins in the 2020 season. And just look forward to, you know, getting our hands on these guys back in August. So.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into fan questions, and we start with Byron, who would like to know, in choosing a defensive scheme, really, is it really just a product of what you grew up in, or do you pick a 3-4 or 4-3 based upon your players? What's the process?
You know what? It's twofold. The number one thing here, we want to make sure that we're putting our players in the best situation possible. So what do I mean by that? You know, if we have a lot of linebackers, we're probably going to be more dialed into a 3-4 scheme. You know, if we have more defensive linemen, we'll probably be dialed into a little bit more of a 4-down scheme. So it really comes down to, at the bottom line, the good coaches can adjust and do what your personnel allows you to do. Now, if it's talking about what's your fit, I'm coming out of Bucknell, we played really good defense, and we played some good defense around here in the past, and we'll get back to, we were super young this year, but, you know, I was really more based out of a four down defense, and, you know, just playing at TCU aggressive, with a nickel on the field, three safeties on the field, two backers. I mean, that's kind of like what I'm rooted in, but, you know, when I first got here, we didn't have those guys when I was defensive coordinator. So when Coach Rogo hired me as a defensive coordinator, we were a little bit more 3-4. So it just comes down to, you know, using your personnel, but you gotta have a philosophy in what you believe in too as a coach. So it's a great question.
Dana would like to know, what do you do with players who are really not staying connected with their teammates? Do you have a rule where they need to be?
You know, you want it to be organic. You want to set the guys up to have those opportunities. You know, but I think back to my college days, and I remember when I first became a head coach, I said, man, you know, I want the whole team to hang out, and, you know, all 80 guys need to be, but that's not reality, man. Like, there's got to be there's a level of respect that everybody has for each other. But at the end of the day, man, guys are kind of going to go their own separate ways, you know. So, I think we have a good, cohesiveness with our team. We have meetings, you know, so guys can zoom in and see each other. They were doing workouts where they were zooming in and see each other. So we put some things in place. But at the end of the day, man, you want it to be organic too. I know that there's definitely some groups, you know, small pockets in our team that hang out very close. And I know I'm sure there's some guys that don't hang out at all. But like I said, it all comes down to respecting each other, and we all got one common goal. So,
Dana would also like to know, will you be restricting players to the campus for a month or two after they arrive to restrict exposure to the community?
Wow, good question. You know what? Is something that working with the administration, kind of waiting to see how our administration is going to handle that. I have some ideas, you know, when you talk to some people around the country, what they're doing as far as limiting athletes from the regular population. So there's some ideas, but again, some of that's above my pay grade, and I kind of got to wait and be told what to do, but I want to have some things in place too. As far as that. So you're just kind of thinking with our staff, you know, what does this look like, and our training staff, what does this look like? So just kind of asking questions and trying to be proactive. So when we are told what do we have, you know, we've been working on that in the process anyway. So
Owen would like to know, as far as you know right now, will camp open on schedule?
As far as I know right now, man, we're good to go. So just crossing our fingers and continue to hope that, you know, we can get our arms around this, you know, this virus that's, you know, taking over I shouldn't say just the country, but, you know, the whole world really. So just trying to see if we can, you know, maybe get a window and a guy, it's got to be a safe window, but, you know, we'd love for our guys to be able to compete on Saturdays in the fall.
We have a couple of questions from Jim. The first is, I assume you've looked at some film on St. Scholastica. What kind of talent do you think they have, and where do you see them fitting in the MIAC?
You know what? I took a quick peek. It's funny that actually the St. Scholastica coach, Mike Heff, Efferman. This will be interesting, man. People enjoy this. He, when I was a senior at Illinois State, he was a freshman. So that's pretty doggone cool, man. Super happy and happy for him up there to get that job. And you know, he's done a good job. I think they had a really good record last year. He's going to do a good job. So that'll be cool to lock horns with him on the field. They have good talent. You know, they have really good talent. As far as where they fit in, it'll be tough because you don't know where the MIAC is right now. The MIAC has lost a lot of good players, you know, and there's some teams, including us, that are on the upswing. So it'll be interesting to see where they fall in. So I can't necessarily say I see them fitting in at this number or that number. It's just I think they're going to be a great addition to the MIAC football league, and I do know that.
Jim also asks, he says, I wanted to say I think it is kind of ironic that the two teams that are joining the MIAC are McAllister and St. Scholastica, and you are playing them this year for non-conference. Ironic, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, how weird is that, Jim? It actually works itself out, because you know what, Jim? To be honest with you, we had the St. Sco scheduled for 2020, 2021, 22, and 23. So, you know, we were trying, I don't know if that was the universe saying, hey, join our league, but we had them for 4 years, man, and non-conference. So it's kind of cool that they're joining. And then we play McAllister every year for the old bucket game. So it kind of worked itself out. Two great academic schools, two great head football coaches at both those places. I know those coaches very well. So they're going to be great additions to the MIAC.
Lindsay says, Coach, do you have any inside info on if other fall sports are expected to be played this year?
Miss Lindsay, I don't know, man. As of right now, you know, we think everything's a go. You know, I know football is going, and both soccer would be going, across country would be going. So, you know, we just have to keep our fingers crossed. But I don't have the answer for that right now. We would like to play if it's safe enough to do it. So,
Marcus would like to know: did you watch any of that flag football world championship that was on TV on Saturday? Are we really that desperate for sports that they're showing flag football?
Whoa, Marcus, I did not watch any of the Flag Football World Championships. I did not even know that that was a thing. So thank you for educating me on that. No, Saturday, I definitely did not do that. I was out and about the Twin Cities. So I was not sitting around on Saturday. Sorry, man.
Andre returns, says, Coach, I wanted to hear your thoughts on Harold Carmichael finally getting into the Hall of Fame.
Dre, man, super, super cool to hear from you. I got some news offline that, you know, things are opening up in Philly and you can get a cheesesteak to go and delivered. So I appreciate you getting that information to Rob for me. That's big time. So it warmed my heart when he told me that this morning before we spoke. So, and as far as Harold Carmichael, that's, you know, big time, you know. I don't want to say long overdue because I don't know the process of how the Hall of Fame is voted, but it's good to get him in. And he was a really good player, a little bit before my time, but, you know, obviously, if you're a fan, you know, you can do the history, and he was the real deal, man. So excited for him. I know he's probably excited. I know his family is excited. So great addition to the Hall of Fame.
Henry says, Adrian Peterson said that deals for running backs are really disrespectful now. It seems teams don't really respect running backs these days.
Yeah, you know, the way things have been trending in the last, I'd say, 10 years, you know, it sounds like, and again, you know, and obviously me not working in the NFL, but it sounds like you can kind of find those guys late in the draft, you know. So, and it's such a tough position, you know. So it's hard, you know. I guess GMs don't want to spend that money on a guy that you might only have for 2 or 3 years. So it's tough, man. So when you see like a guy, the Vikings kid Dalvin Cook is trying to, I think I saw something on the news. He's trying to restructure his contract. And the guy down in Dallas, you know, who's Ezekiel Elliott. Henry down in Tennessee, like, but they're good football players, man. So I don't know, man. I think it's all the philosophy of the universe, the philosophy of the NFL pro team. You know, just how do they value running backs? You know, some teams probably don't value running backs that much, man. So I think it's really more so team versus just blanketed statement of the position. But I know people are finding running backs later and at smaller schools, and a lot of things that go into finding a running back that fits your system. So.
Yeah, it seems now that teams are more interested in finding a running back who catches the ball out of the backfield now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey's kind of put a spotlight on that. But, I mean, even before him, Marshall Faulk was a guy that could do that. Edgerrin James was a guy that was out of the backfield, dangerous, man. So, I mean, just, you know, there's a niche for that. So,
Ricky would like to know, what do you think about Cam Newton and how well he fits in with the Patriots?
Wow. You know, it's funny, man. I saw my son was showing me something on the internet the other day about Cam Newton. And I forgot, and I remember being in college, but you know, you don't get a chance to watch that much football in college until your season's over. But I forgot how good he was, man. Cam Newton is the real deal, man. He won the Heisman. That dude was running the football as a junior or senior. I mean, just I was impressed with watching those highlights. I had kind of forgot. I think, you know, with the tutelage of Bill Belichick bringing him in, I'm hoping it's going to be a good fit, man. I root for Cam, man. I want to see him do well, man. You know, but I'm interested to see how that's going to go. I'm really fired up a bit about that, man. So that'll be pretty cool.
Dave says, Coach, I wanted to ask you about something you said from a previous show. There is all this talk about Jimmy Kimmel and his impersonation of Carl Malone from the 1990s. Is that offensive to do impersonations of people like that?
You know, I think anytime, and not just when it comes particularly with race, but anytime that, you know, you are making fun of somebody that's different. So even, you know, I think back to In Living Color, you know, there were some skits on there where, you know, they would poke fun at disabled people or, you know, like the Jimmy Kimmel, Karl Malone, if you're getting in makeup and doing different things. I just always feel like that is a very slippery slope, man. So, you know, I think anytime, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it just comes down to respecting other people's, you know, their views on things, and not even necessarily their views, but, you know, I just think whenever you're starting to put makeup on and you're dressing up as a different, you know, different race, I think it can be interpreted the wrong way or it could go the wrong way, man. So just gotta be careful and, you know, try your best to stay away from those things. So.
Jim would like to know, what's the best piece of advice your dad ever gave you?
Wow. Oh, man. I don't know if that's the best piece of advice. I would say, you know, maybe more so be yourself. You know, you got to be yourself. But it wasn't necessarily him sitting down and saying things to me or, hey, son, you know, this is the advice. It was just the way that he carried himself, man. You know, what I saw, you know, how he attacked every day with an attitude that was positive. I don't think I've ever seen my dad, you know, lay in the bed. Ever, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was never a Saturday where he said, oh, I'm just going to sit in front of a TV and watch TV. Like, that just, I didn't see that. Very active, personable. I mean, I remember us crossing the bridge from Philly to Jersey or from Jersey to Philly. I mean, he's talking to the people that used to take the toll. I don't even know if they have those people anymore, but just little things like that. So I don't necessarily know if it was one piece of advice that he said, hey, son, do this or think about this. It's just the way he carried himself and, you know, the way he went about his business. You know, as a father, as a husband, so just kind of watching. So it's not necessarily advice, just, you know, learning through the visual part of it, man. So I was fortunate to have, you know, my dad in the house every day. And, you know, obviously I had a conversation with him yesterday about that, man. And it was funny. I was talking to my son. So my son and I, we were working out. And I was just telling him, yeah, you know, my dad was so hard on me. And, you know, and I appreciate, you know, at 16, I really started to understand, hey, you know, it's for a reason why he's hard on me. It's to make sure I can carry myself. It's to make sure that I can survive in the world, right? And then when I got to college, I really understood why, and I thanked him. And to this day, I always thank him on how he raised me. And it wasn't like he was overly strict, but I mean, like, my dad didn't play, man. Like, he could just look at you, and you better straighten up. So it's funny, I was telling my son that. Well, my son doesn't see my dad like that. He sees him as Pop-Pop. So he's just like, Dad, he's like, Pop-Pop, what is it mean? He's cool. You know, so it's funny. As things change, you know, as you know, for me, as my dad, I looked at him at that age, like, man, at 14, how the age my son is, at 14, man, my dad was, you know, it could be, you know, you had to do everything a certain way. But now, as a man, I appreciate that. But now my son can't see it because every time he's around Pop-Pop, and Pop-Pop's nice, man. Pop-Pop is taking care of his grandson, you know. So it was just funny reminiscing, telling my son that, and he's like, Dad, I don't think you're telling the truth, man. Pop-Pop's nice. So it was really funny. It was a good moment. So I love my mom and dad dearly, and I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for both of them raising me the way they did. So I appreciate it.
Anthony says, Coach, no one asked you about Father's Day last week, so I wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day and ask if you did anything special.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Nothing special. I'm, you know, when it comes to birthdays and Father's Day, you know, I'm under the radar, man. I'm just blessed to have another day, air in my lungs. You know, the son is healthy, happy. So, I mean, just, you know, spending time with him. So it's all good, man. Nothing out of the ordinary. It wasn't like there was like a, it wasn't like a lobster tail and a steak on the, no, it wasn't none of that stuff, man. We had a good meal and, we had good laughs. So it was good. It was just good to be with your son on Father's Day. So it's good.
Awesome. And why is it good to be a Piper?
Well, it's good to be a Piper today. 6/29/20. It's raining outside. You know, anytime you get rain, that's free water. That's the way Coach Taylor looks at it, man. So I'm excited about that. You know, grass gets that water, garden gets some water. So I'm excited about that. And then just, you know, just continue to keep planning, working with the staff, developing our young coaches. And I'm really grateful for the leadership and the leaders that we have on our team taking the bull by the reins this offseason. It's going to pay off for these guys when we get together in the fall. So,
excellent. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, Rob. Thanks, man.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hanlon coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsReport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsReport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.